G'day dear listeners, you're listening to Truth to You with Jono and Jason, first program for 2018. G'day mate.
G'day. 2018. It's crazy.
Yeah. Now, it is crazy, and we're going to be talking about why it is crazy. There's a lot of things going on in the world, but I'm going to kick off with a verse from the Tanakh. You ready?
Yes.
Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Bet you know what it says.
I have no idea.
I'll tell you now. Okay. So says the Lord, of the way of the nations you shall not learn, and from the signs of the heavens be not dismayed, for the nations are dismayed from them. Why am I reading that?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. You know what's going on. The whole, I mean, we were going to record this program, what, in a few days, but we thought, no, we can't. Mm. We've got to get it in now because it's going to be all over in a couple of days.
Is this about the whole moon thing?
Come on. It's totally about the moon thing.
Oh, man.
I thought there's got to be something on, well, first of all, you explain what the moon thing is.
Right, so can I just do a quick disclaimer first to let anyone know who might have delicate sensibilities that we're trying something that... All right, everyone at home, you see Jono and Jason all the time. We're on video, we're on podcasts, we're on shows, and we've done it for years, and we try to be very polite and stuff, but that's not really what we're like when we have private chats.
Nah.
So we thought what we would like to do is talk about the stuff we talk about privately and try and get it onto a format that people can enjoy. And so there may be stuff that you find upsetting, but what we want to do is give you the kind of what we really think.
What Jono and Jason really think
about some of the stuff that we see in life in social media and on Facebook and stuff like that. So if you think this is going to be a Bible study or something, it isn't. What it really is going to be, I hope, is kind of a common sense study. And while Jono and I, you might think that we agree on lots of things, some stuff we really don't. And
it's only because you're wrong.
And you know what? It's people like me that make it easier for people like you to be right. So I just like that. If you think this is going to be a big thing about why the New Testament is wrong, I feel that we've covered nearly all of that already. If you've got a question, we've answered it somewhere.
Yeah. See,
or someone's answered it better somewhere. So we're moving on to.
You should have just introduced the program. You've got the whole disclaimer, and you've.
Oh yeah. No, I don't want someone to, because right now they'll be commenting, I can't believe they didn't talk about the New Testament. Or, did you hear the way they spoke about Jesus? And, you know, we've been there and done that. So now
stick around. Stick around. I've got some stuff to address here. Don't you worry about that. All right. This is
the... moon. There's going to be a super blue moon.
Hang on. It's even more than that. It's a super blue, blood red moon.
Mm.
I mean, I would have thought that... Couldn't we have just called it a super purple moon?
Well, that's fair, yeah. Aubergine moon.
Yeah, an aubergine moon. Now, is the Express, is that a reputable paper?
It's a middle of the road. It's not exactly tabloid, but it's tabloid enough, if you know what I mean.
All right, okay. Well, it's in the Express. This is Sean Martin penned this article. End of the moon. Super blue blood red moon is a, quote, sign of the apocalypse. He says the super blue blood moon that will appear at the end of the month is a sign of the apocalypse, that the apocalypse is nigh. I love that word, nigh. I don't use that enough. Mm. And that Jesus Christ will return according to a bizarre theory. All right, you ready for the theory?
I'm ready.
The lunar phenomenon will take place on January 31. The next one won't be until 2028. There won't be a next one because it'll be all over on January
31. Yeah, that'll be it. That'll be finished. Yeah.
Christian conspiracy theorists are claiming that as a result of the spectacular lunar display, Christ will appear on earth and herald in the end of days.
Ooh.
And herald. It sounds like, what do you do when you herald? It sounds like it's, is that what that is? Because in my mind, for some reason, Christmas carols.
You see Hark the Herald Angels. The herald angels are the ones that are, da-da-da-da.
Right. Okay. Followers, it goes on to say, followers of Christ point to a verse in Luke 21, verses 25 to 26, which I didn't even bother to look up. Oh, no, hang on. He's got it here. Which says the end is near when the signs appear. According to the verse, Christ says, quote, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth distressing distress of nations perplexity." There you go. Because of the roaring of the seas and the waves. I was a bit disappointed. It was, oh man, it was like 40 degrees the other day. And I did go to the beach, and there really wasn't that much of the roaring of the waves. I was a bit disappointed. The surf was, wasn't that good. But apparently it's going to pick up pretty soon. People fainting with fear and with foreboding, that's another good word, of what is coming on the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. All right. Now, I didn't want to make fun of people and name names, and it's just as well that Sean has done it for me, so this is good. Facebook user Diana Harris attempted to break the super blue blood moon down for modern times. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is what she wrote on her Facebook page. Now, there's a few of these, but hers is really good. Quote, "Last day's last supper," and then in brackets she's got super. You know, just because super and supper are almost the same word.
They're nearly the same. I mean, depending on your accent, you could argue they were the same word.
It's just supper has less P.
Yeah, it does.
Blood moon.
That's a good thing. I never want PP in my supper.
No, that's right. Blood moon, and in brackets after that, Jesus blood.
Oh.
Comma. Blue / red, and in brackets she's got, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Colin's crazy comment. Remember that? Oh, man. Okay, so dear listeners, if you want a great laugh, in fact, I'll put a link underneath to Colin's crazy comment, or I think we called it the Wizard of Oz, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
This really, this is the same, this belongs in the same funny farm. Blue, red, and in brackets she's got Republican / Democrats division.
Oh, dear.
Riddles continue as the four horsemen of the apocalypse continue riding high, she said. Cool. Thank you very much, Diana Harris. Now, it does go on with a few other things. I won't be bothered reading it. But I did get on YouTube because I thought, oh, there's got to be some really cool YouTube stuff. Lo and behold, Israel Bible prophecy news analyst and Ezekiel Temple Watch, the chap by the name of Moshe, who claims to be a Levite. That's always good when a Levite, you know, tells you, you know, stuff and things.
Yeah, if you want something done, go to a Levite.
He ran, and I'm not kidding, 2 minutes and 40 seconds, just a bit of a ramble. It's like he's fighting to stay awake. He's almost falling asleep. In fact, I do believe he's sitting up in bed with a pillow behind him. Like, he can't even be bothered to get out and present himself. But he's crapping on about this thing happening on January 31 as if it's – and he's got a bunch of New Testament verses there, which doesn't really reflect well for a Levite. But I was surprised to see that he had 27,567 views and people losing their mind. I thought, that's a lot. But then just before I got on the program, I find another video of some rambling chap by the name of Paul Begley I don't know, what is this guy? I don't know what he is. Some prophecy thing. Oh, paulbegleyprophecy.com.
Oh, okay. He just threw his name right in there because he thought it sounded so legit.
Yeah.
What do I want people to think of when they think of prophecy?
This guy, I love this video. This guy really is a rambling fool. I'm just going to say it. And it goes on for 3 minutes 38. Very entertaining. Like, I might even put the link under this post. He's saying that there's a blue moon and there's a blood moon and there's a super moon and something's going to happen. Something will happen. It'll happen. And you know what they really love? Christians really love it when there's something going on in the sky and there's something also going on in a Jewish calendar, right?
Right.
Now, what he says we have is Tu Bishvat.
The new year for the trees.
Yeah, tree day. Tu Bishvat. Except that it actually happens on the day before. But don't let that it up. Don't worry about it. It's all right.
So I'll just jump in very quickly.
Go on.
The Jewish press had a small story on this, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
And they talk about when the blood moon appears and when the first fruits of the sacrifice of the temple, the fruit sacrifice, a fruit offering, if you like, comes up. And they talk about when it's going to appear and why it appears. It's the UV, the Earth cutting off some of the UV rays gives this effect on the moon. Red, yeah. And it says, the Blood Moon Prophecy was a set of apocalyptic beliefs pushed by Christian ministers John Hagee and Mark Biltz, who suggested that the tetrad, the four consecutive lunar eclipses, coincided with Jewish holidays with six full moons in between. There's no intervening partial lunar eclipses, which began on April 24th. And then they list some stuff from the Book of Yoel.
Mm-hmm.
After this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And on male and female slaves, in those days will I pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the sky and the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. Blood moon is neither blood, fire, or a column of smoke. Just think that's quite important to say. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of God's great and terrible day. Now, we could agree right now that some days the moon is turned into blood and that we haven't yet reached the coming of God's great and terrible day. But what it doesn't say is right before, or the day before, or a century before. So just because you see something in the sky, at that time, whoever calls on the name of God will escape. On the Mount Zion and Jerusalem, there will be refugees. As God has promised, among the survivors will be those whom God has called. So they're really laying this on Hagee and Biltz. And interestingly, if you look online, There's nothing existing before these two started propagating.
Yeah, really. And okay, so they sparked it. Well, now this guy, and I'm serious. This chap, what did I say his name? Paul Begley. Absolute rubbish video, but 76,000 views, over 76,000 views, and I thought, wow, people are really excited about this sort of stuff. And there's all sort of comments after this. Praise Jesus! Oh, Jesus is coming! It's just, it goes on and on like that in that voice. And it got me thinking about something else. When I think of, well, first of all, can you just explain what a blue moon is?
So a blue moon is just a slightly larger full moon. And the reason it's blue sometimes is that people think it's either the atmosphere that makes it a kind of a bluey color. People that live by the sea argue it's because it's a reflection of the sea that's blue. It's an old, old, old term. But it's a big, nice full moon. It's also called, interestingly, a wolf moon.
Ah,
so it's one of those tragic wolf moons.
I'm going to get to that because you're talking about certain atmospheric conditions will actually make the moon look a bluish color. But there's another definition. Sure. There's another definition to a blue moon, and a more common definition of a blue moon, and the one that it's referring to here is the fact that there is two full moons in a Roman calendar month. So we had one at the beginning of January, we've got a full moon at the end of January. Of course, on the Hebrew calendar, they're two totally different months, but don't let that get in the way of a good story. We've got a blue moon. It reminds me of the scene, and you mentioned werewolves, it reminds me of the scene, and you know what I'm talking about, right?
Possibly, American Werewolf in London?
American Werewolf in London! This is the famous scene in cinematographic history, where a werewolf turns from a man into a werewolf in not daylight, but it is light. He's got the lights on inside his apartment, and
you see the whole transformation from start to finish.
Yeah.
And most of it is in one shot. Like, so they don't cut away from the face. They do it from the beginning to the end, and then they go to the feet.
Really
and show beginning
clever to stuff. Yeah. I love this movie. Really, really good. But it gets me thinking of werewolves.
I mean, supposing we'd gone the other way. Supposing we decided back in the day that, you know, if we want to make a living out of this, really, about sharing the Bible, then maybe we should do it to the Christians, and we'll use what we know, and we'll make up stuff. I mean, you've got there's going to be a blood red moon, so it's easy then to go into parts of Yoel and parts of the New Testament that talk about apocalypse. And then you've got the wolf aspect of the moon, Ze'ev, and Ze'ev is the tribe of Benjamin, and Benjamin was the last but also the most loved. And aren't the Christians the same? They were the last to come to God, and they're the most loved because they'll be the first ones taken. And aren't they going to be taken in the twinkle of an eye? Doesn't the moon twinkle in your eye? It'd be so easy to sit down and make a good 20 minutes on this just based on little bits and pieces. And that's kind of what you're going to find if you look at Biltz and Hagee. Biltz in particular, and I don't want to put the man down because he really believes this, and he genuinely is very nice to people. You know, I generally think he's a nice person. He's just really, really misguided. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to put him down. But what he does is he looks down a list of things that look Hebrew-y and pulls out. It's like when you go to the internet, you're writing a letter and you don't want to use the same word again. So you say words that sound like given. And it gives you loads of words, like 10 other words. So he uses those words to look up other definitions of the things he wants, and he puts them all together, and then suddenly he's got this really compelling synopsis of what the Blood Moon is all about. Mm. And it is compelling if you haven't done any homework. It's like a sheep. A sheep on a cold day will be drawn to AstroTurf because it looks like grass and he can't smell it. He figures it's because of the frost. And if you're new to anything in a text and it looks good to eat, you're just going to wander over. But once you've eaten it one time, you know it's not good. It's not right.
Well, I'm going back to my theory, and I'll tell you why. Because you shared something on your Facebook page just the other day, and it was something from the Catholic News Agency.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
And I think we can build a case here. It was yesterday, was it? And this is not the the Express. This is the Catholic News Agency. This is like a legitimate thing. This is real, right?
Real. Scary.
Tell us about it. Come on.
So I've got Google on my phone. That's going to come up in a little while. But I've got a Google thing on my phone, and sometimes when I want the news, I click that, and it'll give me my local news and some other stuff. And one of the local, I call them, it's not really a news place, they just pull out interesting stories. But one of the local Dublin ones had this thing, Catholic priest asks for more time and funds to put towards exorcism. And I'm like, what? And I'm expecting it to be a satire piece, and it's not. And it links me to a full-on CatholicNewsAgency.com, which is like their Times article about an Irish priest who's written to the Vatican again and again and saying the cases of demonic possession are on the increase and there aren't enough man hours to look after them. Can I just read one line from this before I go on?
Go for it, because they don't have enough exorcists to deal with what is said to be a rise in demonic activity in the country. Now, we all know why, because you know, the blood blue moon that's about to happen, the werewolves will be out of control.
It's sucking all the evil to the surface, all that buried down demon evil.
Read the quote.
There's a bit here, it just made me giggle. A spokesperson for the Bishops' Conference in Maynooth is a little bit further up the country than I am, told the Irish Catholic that diocese is required to have a trained exorcist. That means every parish has to have an exorcist who is able, now get this, to discern the difference between signs of true demonic possession and signs of mental or physical illness. So I read this to my wife. She said, how do they know the difference? And I said, it's quite easy. If you're laying in bed and you're spewing out vitriol and hatred towards God,
we've all seen the movie.
Yeah, you're mental. But if you're doing it while you're floating above the bed, it's true demonic possession.
If your head does a 360, that is absolute proof.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That
then,
you are.
Then you want to get on the phone. Yeah.
If you begin to turn into a werewolf, that's absolute. Well, I don't know. I mean, I would assume, and I think safely, that werewolves are people who are demonically possessed. Don't you think? I mean, is that fair?
Right. This is the first time we're going to disagree on this program.
Oh, really? You don't think so? I mean, how else do people turn into werewolves if not? No. Let me refer you to the guy in the New Testament. I think it's in Luke. They get in a boat and they travel over to this place, and there's this guy, and he's got broken chain. He absolutely. Yeah. If you had to draw a picture of him, in my mind, that guy's a werewolf. He had a legion of demons, 1,000 demons in him.
Is it daytime though, right?
I don't know. Did it say today? Do we have proof of that? Is it actually in the text?
Well, I mean, I assume that if you're going to go over to an island with a guy that's chained up because he's so violently crazy, you choose not to do that at nighttime.
They might have had a few beers and thought, this will be fun. Let's get in the boat. And go over werewolves. To demon-possessed island, werewolf island, come on. There's just this guy and a bunch of pigs. Let's go over there.
That's right, yeah. We killed a load of pigs that weren't ours. Now we go and look at the crazies. That sounds like such a nice church outing, doesn't it?
It might have been. I'm just looking it up now. I'm sure it's in Luke.
Oh, man.
Yeah, go on. So yes, you don't think that demon possesses?
He breaks all the chains. So, all right. But werewolves, lycanthropods, it's called lycanthrop. Well, today, if you believe you're a werewolf, you suffer from a thing called lycanthropy, where you believe that the moon brings about a change in you.
Oh, yeah.
But I suppose technically, it's a physiological condition. You are now a different type of creature. I don't think there's ever anything... I mean, it's been used. I mean, this is a Northern European thing, although there have been cases in Australia and Africa both have a version of it, but it's mostly Northern European, and basically it's a way of expressing how men get particularly sexually more wanting at nighttime, and the moon is blamed on that, which might have an effect. I don't know if anyone's ever looked at it, but, you know, the moon definitely has effect on tides. We're mostly water. It's conceivable that it would have an effect on man. But then they say at nighttime you become the animal, and I can see how that was
what happened to David in American Werewolf in London. I mean, he didn't just sort of get a bit randy. I mean, he really just turns into a werewolf.
Well, let me ask you. He's sitting there in bed. His friends he's in bed having the dream.
Yeah.
And then a little lady comes in a nurse's outfit.
Yeah.
And he thinks, where is this going to go? And then the violence comes in. So I don't know. I think there's an argument for it. That's a great movie.
It's a great movie. I'd love to know what the listeners think. Are werewolves actually demon-possessed?
Mm.
Or is it some sort of... I mean, I guess...
You can't exercise a werewolf, right? You have to just shoot him dead with a silver bullet.
That is true.
Although in Curse of the Were-Man, I think it is, which Christopher Reeves...
Yeah.
Christopher Reed, sorry. He gets killed by a silver bullet, which is melted down from a silver crucifix.
That's a case in my favour. In any case, when David does turn into the werewolf, the blue moon is playing in the background. The first thing David does when the transition begins is he professes his faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right. He looks up and spots the four horsemen of the apocalypse. going across the sky to the tune of Highwaymen by the Highwaymen. And you can just about see Johnny Cash's face.
I'm totally sticking with the possibility that werewolves are demon-possessed, and that is why there is, as the Catholics in Ireland are reporting, that there's an exponential demonic activity happening. I'm saying to you is that on the 31st, the evening of the 31st, you should just stay indoors. Lock the doors.
Yeah, put some salt around the windows. Salt around the windows and the front door of your house. Keeps the spirits away, and garlic. Lots of garlic. Apparently, they can't stand garlic.
I thought that was vampires.
Okay, so back in the day, in the Dark Ages, people were very basic, and garlic stunk the most, so they assumed that would drive away evil spirits. So you can assign any evil spirit you want to that. But in those old werewolf movies, they'll stick garlic up along the doors and wolfbane and a few other things, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what you shouldn't do, and that is consult your, if there is a dilemma, don't consult your Google Home speaker thing.
No, we don't.
It's not going to help you. What are these things, by the way?
Oh, yeah. So I forgot. I'm speaking to the man that doesn't have a cell phone.
No, that's it.
So today, we're living in the world of the personal assistant, and they're almost all now digital. So if you have you get these little pods that go in your homes, and some of them are made by Amazon, and some of them are made by Google, and you get some third-party ones,
Do you have one?
It's on anyone's phone now, pretty much.
Oh, so it's like Siri. Is it like Siri?
It's like Siri, except the Google one in particular, it's also tied into YouTube and other things much faster. You can ask it questions, and then it should give you a good answer based on its algorithm and bringing stuff up from the internet. As an example, right? I'm at home. And I've got, a brisket of beef, and it's the first time cooking it. And I can say, okay, Google, how long will it take for me to cook this brisket? And it will say, on my phone, I wish I could, but on my phone, it's just come up on my phone.
Is it really?
Right? So, yeah. So, and it will say, you put it in for 40 minutes on a low heat, cover it for whatever, and then, and that's how you do it. So people use that all the time now. I use it all the time now. I'll be about to do some chores or something. I'll say, okay, Google, play my something playlist, and it'll just start playing music to me.
Nice.
I've just done it again. Hang on, I've got to turn this off.
Okay.
There we go. That's good. Every time I say okay Google, it wakes up.
Oh, truly? Okay, all right. So, well, now, according to Fortune, what's this, Fortune? Is this a magazine, fortune.com?
I think it is a magazine and a website, yeah.
Okay. Who is Jesus? Google Home couldn't answer and people weren't happy. Apparently, if you asked who is Buddha or Muhammad or even Satan, no problem, get a bit of a detailed answer. But if you ask who is Jesus or who is Jesus Christ, nothing.
Let me just have a little look.
Go on.
Okay, Google, who is Jesus? Oh, wow. All right. Top answer, Google Home devices, no Muhammad. Oh, right. Who is Jesus? First, it goes to Jesus. It doesn't. All right. So let me just say, sometimes a response will come back straight away. And it won't be in a bracket. It will just be on its own as text. So it might say the average time for a soft-boiled hard egg is 3.5 minutes. And then underneath, it will give you web answers that you can click into.
Right.
So this hasn't given me any web answers. It's gone to allaboutjesuschrist.org and jw.org and who is Jesus Christ. And there's some other stuff, but it hasn't given me a direct response. So I'm going to ask it who is Buddha and see. Who is Buddha? Oh, and it did. It gave me a page for him.
There you go.
So, ooh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So everyone just, you know, when all the werewolves start roaming around in Ireland and people are going, we better do something about this before we all die. Quick, what did we learn about in Catholic school? Quick, Google, who is Jesus? And he's not going to have anything.
Not going to have anything.
They're all going to be in trouble. It's all downhill from there. And then the rapture happens and everyone's screwed. That's it. That's the way it's going to go down.
On the plus side, if you're at home and you have got a Google Home or a Dot or one of the Amazon machines, you can use that to access the internet and audio and video casts. And as we've done lots of shows, all you have to do is really ask it to play one of our shows, and it should be able to find it and play it for you. So as a self, yeah. So I'm trying to get some extra views and listens here for our stuff.
Keep on,
Just ask it, and it should be able to play it, and you can be, you know, reading a book or whatever, and we can be happily, merrily chatting in the background.
There you go.
Do that. Yeah, don't waste your time asking who Jesus is. It can't help.
It can't help you, and it definitely won't be any help on the evening of the 31st of January.
Ooh, bearing that in mind, if you live in the Middle East or Australia, anywhere, actually, if you follow the globe around, then you'd be able to watch that. So if you see it and you get a photograph, send it to one of us on Facebook and we can put them together into a little montage. It'd be kind of cool to see, because I won't be able to see it. And regardless of whether you think it's going to be a spiritual thing, it's always cool to see what nature... I mean, you have to remember that, as sometimes dumb as it sounds when people put this extra meaning onto stuff, God still put all this stuff in place. And it's neat to see when all these kind of special effects happen. Aurora Borealis and blood moons and whirlpools and stuff. So we want to see it.
What do you mean? What do you mean you won't be able to see it?
It will be too far. The planet will have rotated. I'm sorry, flat earthers. The globe will have rotated too far for the moon to be visible. How do you even argue that as a flat earther, that the moon won't be visible? So the sun is behind, Earth is in the middle, we're rotated too far away, the moon will be, so for me it'll be the morning already, you're already in the night of the next day,
That's it.
So that'd be cool to see,
What else we got?
What else have we got? Can we talk a little bit about just like making a good argument based on a certain person we won't mention that was my page and then joined your group? Because I think it's valuable to... it's difficult. So 6 or 7 years ago, I've made the choice to dig more into the Bible and try and reaffirm my relationship with God and try and understand him. And I start going through the Old Testament for the first time properly without trying to infer on what I already have been told it means. And then I start watching videos on speakers about it, and I kind of assume that what they're saying is true because they should know, and I don't. And it seems that I should have had someone tell me at that point, don't listen unless you've tested it out and it makes sense to you first. Because there was this, and it's not just this one guy, it happens all the time, but this, you know, he was particularly good at just hammering it out.
So there was a particular chap on Facebook that
let's call him Ben.
Yeah, or we could call him Daniel.
Oh, Daniel's a great name.
That's
as well.
That's a good name. We could call him the old prophet. And Daniel was he was on your page and he said something. Was he on your page and you?
Okay, so
you screenshotted something that he said and sort of made an example of him and he really deserved it. It was pretty funny. He then applied. Oh, and that was a great thread. I mean, people should go to your Facebook page and have a read. He then applied for membership of the Truth to You study group. There you go. Go to Facebook and get on the Truth to You study group. And he got on to be argumentative. Now, you remember when you first find out stuff and you just want to get on the internet and find everyone who you think is wrong and just have it out with them.
Yeah, hammer away on the keyboard.
Yeah, and you go through that phase, and he's definitely in that phase.
Yeah.
And it was just hilarious stuff. I really did enjoy it. But then the next day it was kind of old and it was really boring, and I had to kick him off the group. When he was asking questions about, I don't know, it was something about Solomon, you know. In fact, me and Tovia did a program on what is his son's name. I'll put a link. Remember that?
Right. The who is the son, and the whole gathering, who gathered up the corners of the earth and scooped up the waters in his hands, that verse. Yeah.
So he asked the question, and I said, well, here's the program. Done it. Here's one I prepared earlier. And and he said, and this is a quote, "I'll watch to see how you come to a false conclusion."
Mm. So what I think I got from my interaction, and I read through that thread this morning on the Truth to You page, and it was actually typical of my interaction with him. As a person, even now, if someone says something to me that's really super outlandish but I think might hold water, I'll still go and look. I mean, it's dumb not to. You want to know. You might be wrong this whole time. It would be like picking up a driver from the US and he fell asleep. He's a truck driver. He fell asleep. You picked him up. Somehow you whisked him over to the UK and you put him in a truck and you left him there. And then he wakes up and everything he thinks he knows about the road is different now. Mm. It's all completely flipped upside down. And that could be what it's like when you've spent your whole life believing in something, or more important, or more probably actually the last year thinking and believing in something. And then, you come across a whole group of people that are a tidal wave to your way of thought. And then you're thinking, well, all these people are wrong, and I can prove they're wrong by just saying the same thing over and over and over and over again and not actually giving any evidence.
So I like your analogy, by the way, because once he was driving on the wrong side of the road, and now all of a sudden when he wakes up, he's forced to drive on the correct side of the road.
That's right.
Like that. There's a lot in that.
And he can't see the signs anymore, and everyone seems to be honking at him, and the lights aren't working for him. But it doesn't matter, because all the knowledge that he's built up so far is good, and he figures that's the way it's going to work. But he was wrong for that, and I've been guilty of certainly doing that. And that's why I learned my lesson. And so when someone comes today and they say something crazy, or it seems crazy to me, from whatever source it is, whether it's, if it's a kind of someone I know is Christian but really puts the time in, I'll still go and have a look.
Have a quick look.
Yeah, have to have a look. Because if you don't know why it's wrong, you've got no right to say it's wrong. So, and Facebook's a dangerous place. Everyone plants their little seed of information there. Everyone's got their own truth, which is fine. I have my own truth. You've got yours. But you can't just assume because you've read it on someone's page and it looks like they know what they're talking about. That they do or don't, unless you've figured it out yourself. So, oh man. So, should we just talk a little bit about how it was Holocaust Remembrance last weekend?
I think we should, because you've just started doing a Jewish Dublin walking tours. Can you just quickly give us a rundown on that?
Right. So, in April, I'm going to start a walking tour that's going to happen twice a week. On Tuesdays and Thursdays at midday, I'll be picking people up and walking them around Dublin for 2 hours. And we end up at the Jewish Museum, which only opens in the summer. That's why I'm picking that time of year. Mm. And I'll kind of fill them in on what Ireland and the Jewish population here shared, and what the Jews offered Ireland. It's amazing, actually. The first cinema in Dublin was built by a Jewish immigrant, a refugee of the pogroms. He was also the first one to build a luxury cinema that had tables and chairs, and you'd sit there and you'd eat your dinner while you watched the movie, which is a big thing in the 20s and 30s. Mm. One of the first pharmacists here that made up their own ointments that went nationwide was a Jew. There's loads of them everywhere you look. We had a Jewish mayor in 1557, sorry, Jewish town mayor in Cork. So they even before the Northern Europeans came, there was still a rich history dating back 1,000 years. And so that needs to be highlighted and addressed. And I've spent a long time as a guide now in the museum. And I figured this will be the year to go and make that happen. Mm. Mm. So
somebody did share, and this is actually an article from 5 years ago, but someone did share an article in the Irish Times, coming back to Ireland. Cork woman receives first Irish honour for saving Jewish victims of the Holocaust. Mary Elms from Cork, a Cork woman who risked her life to save Jewish children from the Nazi gas chambers, has become the first Irish person to be honoured as, quote, righteous among the nations by Yad Vashem.
A lot of people, it's amazing. A guy came in, I think it was 2 years ago now, he's from San Francisco, and he had his 8 kids with him. And he walks into the museum and he says, "Ah, oh, it's really funny. I came here, I told all my friends that I was going to look up my Irish ancestry. Ah, ha, 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 ha." So I said, "Well, it's actually not that funny. Do you know where your family comes from?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, we're Russian or Lithuanian then." And I said, "Okay, and what's your name?" So I go and get these two big volumes that we have that dates. It literally has every Irish Jewish name in it since the dawn of time. And there we go and find his great granddad. Turns out he was in Ireland for 18 months.
Wow.
Had a generation of kids here. And yeah, he's absolutely got Irish ancestry because his great grandfather, I think it was what came here, and his grandfather was born here. And it's not uncommon. A lot of people, when they try and find, especially in the US, they try and find the route that was taken from the pogrom, and often the ones that came via Ireland have a missing gap, and they think, well, it's they're not in the English register. Where could they have gone? There must be a mistake in the paperwork. But most of the time, they stopped off in Ireland for a while.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, so Ireland has an interesting history. Mm. The last weekend in Ireland, the lights were lit for the memorial.
Good.
As they were around the world. It's a little bit... What frustrated me yesterday was there's a really terrible program on Sunday mornings where there's like a group of people in the studio, and there's one guy and he asks questions. And is anti-Semitism rife in Labour, in the Labour Party in the UK? Mm-hmm. And all of the questions, all the answers that came back were to do with Palestine and Israel's right to exist. And I'm thinking to myself, if you went to 1930 and then asked the question, no one's going to talk about Israel and Palestine and Israel's right to exist. But there'd still be a huge argument to be had for anti-Semitism in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's because anti-Semitism's got nothing really to do with Israel's right to exist. It's only got something to do with the Jews' right to exist. It just made me really frustrated. So it was good yesterday and the weekend to go through my Twitter feed and my Facebook feed and see a ton of people posting pro-Israel stories that weren't so Israel as they were Jewish. They were posting pro-Jewish stories about the amazing Jews that have come into the world. And so I just wanted to say here and now, if you posted something to recognize from wherever background you come from, to recognize the Holocaust Memorial, thank you very much. Yeah. And I appreciate it. It was good.
Nice.
Yeah, done my bit.
Done your bit. We're done. Are we done?
I think we are. If you guys at home have got stuff you'd like us to talk about, and I have to stipulate again, we're not going to dig into textual analysis. It's really just kind of a magazine piece. If you've got stuff you want to talk about.
Tough luck, then... because it all ended on the 31st. This is the last one. This is the first and the last.
All right.
Werewolves battled it out with Jesus and his heralding angels. And,
There is a movie.
Is there really?
That would be great.
Oh, there is, isn't there? There is a movie. Isn't that some sort of Jesus versus a zombie apocalypse?
So there's a Lollapalooza was a funny one, and Jesus got killed straight away there by a guy with a gun. He said, "You just shot a man on a horse coming down from heaven." there are a few Jesus verses. I saw a fighting game not 2 months ago where you can be Jesus. It's like Tekken or Street Fighter, but your character is Jesus. You can also be Moses, just say I'm not being, you know. You could be Buddha, or you could be the Hulk. It was amazing. You could be whatever you wanted. And then kick the crap out of other people, or have the crap kicked out of you. Right. And they all had their own special powers. Moses could take off the Ten Commandments and whop you around the head with them, which was strangely compelling to watch. Because I've had days like that where I wanted to do it.
Yeah, haven't we all? That's great.
But yeah, if you've got stuff you want us to talk about or that you think we'll find interesting, send it in.
If it doesn't happen and we're still here, throw some things our way. We can chat about anything.
Yeah, and if you're alien and you've found the remains of this human world, and you're listening to this, find our bodies.
Now you know what happened.
Science.
It was werewolves versus Jesus, and we were caught up in the fallout.
Yeah,
that's how it all ended.
Just that's right. Okay. Tragic.
All right. Thanks for listening. If you lasted this far.
Next week.
See you when we go. Bye.